Turn to the book of Luke, please, in your Bibles. Luke chapter 15, and turn to page 1097, if yours is a Scofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading just three verses, beginning with verse 29. We'll read through verse 31, and we'll read these verses not responsively. We'll read them in unison. That's what we'll do. Okay. Luke 15, verses 29 through 31. Let's stand, please, as is our custom to do. We'll read these verses all together. Ready? And he, answering, said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And let's pray. There are things to be accomplished tonight. Now, some of the help that's garnered from tonight's service will need to be immediate. There are those who have immediate needs. And some of our needs will be down the way somewhere, a day or two, or a week or two, or a month or two, or maybe even years to come. We'll need what is offered tonight from thy word. And we'll need what's preached by our preacher. So, please bless the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have kept my word in recent weeks when I've told you, because we are late with the anniversary celebrations and so forth, and tonight, because we started 10 minutes late due to the musical program at 6 o'clock hour, I've kept my word to you, and we've gotten out about the same time that we normally get out. I shall keep my word tonight. My message shall be brief, but important, as I think all of them are. Let me say this to you. If there ever was, if I could tonight, I'd like to take, starting the gentleman here on the front row, I'd like to sit down and explain to you what I'm going to teach tonight and preach, so you get it, every bit of it. I'd like to write down the line. I'd like to take 30 minutes with everybody in this room tonight and let you understand carefully what I'm going to speak about. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject obedience, the way to mastery. Or I could call it obedience, the way to authority. We think that obedience is the way to slavery, quite the contrary. Obedience is the way to mastery. It'll take your following me a little carefully, but I believe if you'll listen carefully, I believe that what I'm going to say tonight can do as much for you as most any truth I know about in the entire Bible. Let me just give you a couple of statements before I pray and before I preach. The prodigal son's brother who stayed at home said, now get this, he said, Lo, these many years do I serve thee. He said that to his father. Two verses later, his father said, Son, all that I have is thine. Do you see it? How did he become free? To own everything the father had. By obedience. Now the brother who left home and came back did not receive that promise. Lo, these many years do I serve thee. And the father said, All that I have is thine. Father, bless this hour in a special way tonight. I long to have everybody's attention. Please, help me to be interesting enough, or help my speaking to be inspiring enough. And help me by your own spirit that the people may hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, very carefully hang on every word. No word in the English language has lost its meaning more than the word obedience. Men hate its sound. Its meaning has grown base and hard. It is thought of as somewhat of a disgrace or a debasement for somebody to be obedient. In this age that started the 1960s by the Vietnam Rebellion, obedience has been a bad word. Obedience in school. Obedience even in the armed forces. Obedience in church has been a bad word. It is thought of as a disgrace, but that's not so. Tonight, I would like to clarify and magnify the word obedience. Now follow me carefully. Obedience is not slavery. Obedience is mastery. He who serves is master of the master whom he serves. I'll prove it to you in a minute. He who serves is master of the master whom he serves. He who is served is the servant of the one who serves him. Obedience, basically, is making your master your servant. Let me illustrate. I have tonight in my pocket my keys. These two right here are the car keys. But I'm an old man. Sometimes I lock my keys in my car. So I have another set in my other pocket. Always carry them. And always do. One set in my right pocket, always there, never fails. By the way, there's also a key to my office on both chains, too. Because sometimes I lock my keys in my office. Now, if you're old, I'd say over 20, you ought to do the same thing. But now, when I obey, see, my car says to me, that key has got to go in one place. Hear me carefully. And I obey it. That key will not do any good. That key right there won't do a bit of good in the engine. It won't do any good in the radiator. Won't do any good on the license plate. There's only one place that key, and my car says to me, obey me. And I say, I'm my own boss. If that's the case, the car won't start. But when I obey my car and place that key where it's supposed to be and do what my car says to do, that entire car becomes my servant. So how do I become its master? By obeying it. Obedience is the way to mastery. When I obey my car, the steering obeys me. The radio obeys me. The heater obeys me. The air conditioner obeys me. The brakes obey me. The, I hadn't thought of this word in years. I was going to say accelerator. I started to say foot feed. How many remember that word? Foot feed. Boy, that's an old one. The foot feed obeys me. I can determine how fast that car goes or if it goes. I can make it stop. I can do anything I want to do with that car. Now, what gives me the authority to become the master of that car? Obedience. Obedience. You see, every form of mastery is unlocked by the key of obedience. You who will not obey will not master any. Because mastery is only made possible by obedience. Let me illustrate our text tonight.
a wealthy man, said to his son, who stayed at home while the other son went away, he said, "Son, all that I have is thine." Now, how did he get that? He got it by obeying. "These many years do I serve thee," and he said, "never at one time transgressed I thy commandment." He said, "Dad, I never disobeyed you one time. I was your servant." And the father said, "All right, then you can command me. If you want my," again, get this now, "all that I have is thine. If you want my coat, tell me my coat is yours. If you want my cattle, tell me my cattle is yours. If you want my sheep or my oxen, tell me my sheep and my oxen belong to you. If you want my silver and gold," are you listening to me? "Tell me my silver and gold belongs to you. Do you want my farm? Tell me my farm belongs to you. Do you want my house? Tell me my house belongs to you." I wish I had 2 hours tonight to preach this truth, but I want to illustrate it enough where you'll get it. The way that son became the master of his father was being the servant of his father. Obedience led him to mastery. And he had mastery over his father, all of his father's possessions. Why? Because he was obedient. But the other son had no such mastery at all. The other son had no such power over his father. Because he would not serve his father could not become his servant and would not do so. Now, young people, you listen to me. If you ever want to have some authority someday, you will unlock that authority by obedience now. For obedience is that which opens all of the power of authority that you'll ever have. But you run from obedience and you will never have authority or power because obedience is that which gives you power. Let me illustrate. You have a wall plug in your house. You disobey that wall plug and nothing will work. That wall plug says right here, the two prongs are three. You put them right here. Can I say I'll plug my razor in where I want to plug my razor in? So I plug it in the bedstead. It won't work. I plug it in the sink. It won't work. Unless I obey, are you listening? Unless I obey that wall plug, I cannot be the master. But if I obey that wall plug, look at all the power I can control. I can force that wall plug to run my shaver. If I obey that wall plug and put the doojigger in the doojigger, in the whatchamacallit, and obey that wall plug, I can run a radio. I can run a shaver. I can run a mixer. I can, but I won't run a washing machine. I can run a dishwasher. I can turn on the light in the room of the lamp. But everything hinges on my being obedient. This young generation said, "I'll do my own thing." Yeah, and you won't have any authority either. Because you get authority by obedience. You obey your master and your master obeys you. I'm not a slave. I'm a master. When I put my keys in my car and turn the car properly, keys properly, I become the master of that car. And the way I become the master of that car is by obedience. I become the master of that wall plug. And the way I become the master of that wall plug is by obedience. You start by being obedient. And your obedience is that which turns your master into your servant. Illustration. A tree is planted in the ground. Okay, I've been watching down here. They built this little park down here in inner city of Hammond. And I've been watching it. I drive by it every morning. I've watched them pour the concrete. I've watched them put up the bushes. I've watched them plant the trees. But, now wait a minute. I saw those trees out there unplanted. And the ground said, "Obey me." And those trees said, "We will obey you. And we will be put in the ground. And And those trees were placed in the ground. And when they were, every mineral in the soil became the slave or the servant to those trees. And every bit of nourishment that those trees needed became the servant of those trees because those trees obeyed the soil. You people that say, I won't be a servant to anybody. I know that, and you won't be in authority over anybody either. Because you don't get authority by being served, you get authority by serving. Listen to me. You don't know this, and my enemies won't believe it. It doesn't bother me whether you believe it or not. It's true. I'm not the boss of this church, but those who know me well know that for 28 years nearly, I've served this church. I've served it. I've not wanted to boss anybody. I have no desire to boss anybody. I have a desire to serve. I want to help. If you need help, I want to help you. If you're in trouble, I want to help you out. If you need something, I want to help you get it. And I've served. Now, whatever degree of authority I have in this church is because I have served you for 28 years. These folks who work on the staff, I never say, I'm the boss and you'll obey me. I don't say that. I serve them. If they have a need, I see that it's satisfied. If I know about it, I'll see that it's satisfied. If there's something I think they want, I'll work to try to get it for them. And in response to that, they serve me. So I become the servant. And by the way, they serve me, and I give them more authority. They're loyal to me, and they serve me. And in turn, I say, you can have more authority of your own, and I'll delegate more responsibility to them. But the fellow who will not obey in the office will not be given authority in the office. And a fellow who will not obey in the factory will not be given authority. You fellows who operate the bus companies, you know what I'm talking about. Some fellow works for you that won't obey you, you won't promote him to a position of authority. But the fellow who obeys you and is subservient to you, that means the fellow who is subservient to you is the fellow that you're going to promote one of these days. Why? Because, young people, if you'll listen to me and get your rebellious hearts right with your God, if you'll hear what I've got to say one time in your rebellious life, listen to me. You don't get authority by disobedience. You get authority by obedience. The obeyed becomes the obeyer. The served becomes the servant. The master becomes the servant. The servant becomes the master. I want you to hear me carefully right here. You obey the teacher. Let's take Dr. Evans here. I'll put Dr. Evans beside any historian in America. I'll put him beside any historian in America. And right under him, I'll put Dr. Rasmussen, mighty close. Of course, that's because I've taught them both about history. The history we know is a little different. I know that Detroit won the World Series in 1939. He knows that Charlemagne was some gal that lived a long time ago. And he knows that. Now listen to me. You folks who take his classes, when you obey him, all he knows is at your command. You obey the teacher, and all he has learned through the years becomes yours. And he becomes your servant. He will not exert authority over you as long as you obey him. When you obey him, he does not need to exert authority over you because you have volunteered that authority. And then all that he's learned through these many years about history is at your disposal, and you can receive from him at your command all that he knows about history. And because you obey him, he obeys you and teaches you, and like the soil, rushes to give the tree all that the soil has with its minerals and richness. And because the wall plug gives all the power of the electric plant and all the power of lightning and the forces of the air to you, if you obey the wall plug, and the car becomes your servant and your slave if you obey the ignition All of it. Even so, if you obey your teacher becomes your servant. And all that's his comes to you. The strength of the strongest becomes the possession of the weakest when the weakest decides to obey. Let me say it again. The strength of the strongest becomes the strength or the possession of the weakest when the weakest decides to obey. You find some young person or in this generation of no obey and no respect and no yes sirs and no sirs and yes ma'ams and no ma'am, and I can't get used to these little boys and girls, maybe on a television program or radio program, any of you said, son, you like school? Yeah. Yeah. I want to whack him across the face and say yes, say yes, sir. I'm not across the face, the other opposite end. But I'm saying this. I'm saying our people are taught to be masters, but they don't become masters. The truth is, you can't even master yourself until you obey. I mean, these people that say that they'll not be slaves to anybody become slaves to alcohol. They become slaves to dope. Look at the crowd. Look at the crowd that says we won't obey. We won't be subservient. We'll go our own way. Look at them. They're dying with AIDS tonight. They're being cured or worked, not cured, but being patients in institutions trying to drive them out from dope and liquor. Why? Because they said, I'll be a slave to nobody. And they became a slave to everybody. But you show me that young person who says, I'll obey my mother, I'll obey my father, I'll obey my teacher, I'll obey my principal, I'll obey my Sunday school teacher. We have young people in our Sunday school classes disrespectful of their teachers. Junior hires, listen to me. High schoolers, listen to me. Disrespectful. Nobody's trying to take away your freedom. We're trying to help you get some freedom. Nobody's trying to take away your power. We're trying to help you get some power, but you don't get power until you obey. Obedience is the source of power. Obey your moms and dads. Obeying your moms and dads, all that theirs is yours. They can trust you. And they will trust you. And you'll get more freedom by obeying than by disobeying. You never got grounded for being good. You get grounded for being bad. Why? You're bad and disobey, you lose your freedom. How do you get your freedom? By obeying. And the more you obey, the more liberties you'll get because the more they can trust you. Well, this is good. Oh, I wish I could bear it inside everybody's heart and life in this room tonight. I wish the boys and girls would hear me tonight. I wish the school students would hear me tonight. I wish some of you young people, college age, would hear me tonight. I'll tell you who the slaves at Howells Anderson College have been this year. Those who would not obey. And I'll tell you those people who would not obey and because of that were expelled from our student body, unless something happens to make them obey, they'll be slaves to their passions all their lives. Let's go to God for a minute now. For example, Jesus said in Matthew 28:19-20, all power is given to me, heaven and earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age. I? Who's I? The one who had all power. What does he say? He says, you obey me and go soul winning, and I'll give you freedom. What he's saying, if you obey Almighty God, all of Almighty God's possessions become available to you. And you read in the Bible, God said, command ye me. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the what? The desires of thine heart. God says, obey me and then I'll give you a carte blanche. Obey me and I'll give you a blank checkbook. I'll sign the checks and give you blank checks. Obey me. And so a person, when you decide to go soul winning and obey God, and every Christian is supposed to go soul winning, every once in a while somebody says, well, women aren't supposed to go soul winning. You've got a hole in your head. Every redeemed child of God is supposed to go soul winning. Everybody. If your name is written in heaven, you're supposed to get somebody else's name written in heaven. That woman at Sychar's well, she took off soul winning. One more souls than most of you men have, women have, in your whole lifetime. She went soul winning. Boy, I'm against, I'm gonna clean anybody's plow that's against any kind of soul winning. I'm for soul winning. Children ought to go soul winning. Teenagers ought to go soul winning. Men ought to go soul winning. Women ought to go soul winning. And when you decide to obey God, so when in God says, all power is given to me, you just turned it on. But when you, listen, you think about that for a minute. All the power of deity becomes, you become the master of all the power of deity when you obey God. For example, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But he that light is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by a river of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now you get that? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God says, don't you walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't you stand in the way of sinners. Don't you sit around and listen to critics and the scornful. Get away from them. Get away from them. Tell them to shut up or you're leaving. And he says, you do that and delight in the law of the Lord, the word of God, and meditate therein. God says, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. Why? You met the five prerequisites. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Boy, I wish you could get this. You disobey your God, then God will not give you a carte blanche. There's a way that a child of God can obey God so much that God can trust him and say, I believe that you'll ask for the right kind of thing. From now on, whatever you ask me for, I'll let you have it. And God says, you obey me and make me your master. And I'll make you my master. And then he says, command ye me. John 15:7. You abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask what you will, and it shall be given you. What does that do? That means if I abide in Christ, he abides in me. I become his master, he becomes my servant. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal the land. What does God say? God is saying, any nation, hear me now, any nation, called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek God's face, turn from their wicked ways, becomes God's master, and God says, I'll have to heal your land and forgive your sin. And there's nothing wrong with America that couldn't be cured if Mr. Reagan had lived by 2 Chronicles 7:14 and the nine old men in the Supreme Court would live by 2 Chronicles 7:14 and the Congress would live by 2 Chronicles 7:14 and the school boards would live by 2 Chronicles 7:14 and when we decide to do that, then God becomes our servant and God has to do what he said because God said he'd do it. So how does the nation become master of its own situation? Obeying God. God has become your servant. Got things I'm jumping over here and jumping over and jumping over because of time. I'd like to bore it into your heart tonight and get it. You obey a law and become free from its penalty. You disobey a law and become a slave to its penalty. So everybody in this house will either obey the law or be a servant to the law or a servant to its penalty. Years ago, I used to have a sermon where I used this illustration. It's a true story. I was out in Canoga Park, California, preaching. It was in April or May. I forget which one it was, but it was a beautiful morning. And I got up, as I often do, and I took a walk. As I took a walk, I think it was a morning, maybe an afternoon. It was one or the other, or night. It was either a.m. or p.m., I'm sure. I took a walk. And I saw something that I was working on a sermon called about liberty. The Law of Liberty was the title of it. And God gave me this little experience that morning. I walked by. It was a corner house. Which means that the backyard fence was right adjacent to the sidewalk that was beside the house. It was fenced in by a, chain link, is that right? Chain link fence. And inside that fence was a little Chihuahua dog. And that little Chihuahua dog was barking. And right outside that fence was a big old bulldog just grunting. And that Chihuahua dog was trying to get outside that fence. And he went, woof, 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 let me out. I'm tired of obeying. Woof, woof, I believe in the new morality. Woof, woof. That's the talkingest dog you ever heard in your life. He said, woof, woof, I believe in situation ethics. Woof, woof, I hate to be tied in. Let me out. I want to smoke some pot. Brother, he better thank God that fence is there. Because that bulldog had his napkin around his neck. He is ready for supper. Ask a question. Where was that little Chihuahua dog? Where did he have his freedom? Inside the fence or outside the fence? Inside the fence. So being fenced in was giving him freedom. Is that right? Because outside the... And that's what God's divine law is. God's divine law is a fence to keep us inside a place where we can be free. You let a young person do what he wants to do, he's not free because the enemies are outside the fence. Thank God! God gives us his divine law and builds a fence around us and says, stay inside that fence. And brother, as long as we're inside that fence, we're free. We get outside that fence, every kind of master in the world will try to enslave us. I said, that little Chihuahua dog, I said, you ought to be thankful for that fence. And he said, I'm not. I want out. We got some young folks right now saying, come on out. Let me outside. I want to get out of Howard Anderson College. Let me out. I want out of the fence. Boy, the devil's waiting on the outside of that fence to lap you up like that bulldog had lapped that little Chihuahua dog up. And the tragedy is you haven't got any more sense than that Chihuahua dog. Your freedom is inside God's will and law. And when you come to the place to where you will obey, until you come to that place, you will never have mastery or authority over anything. The young people, young men in Hiles Anderson College that are building great works around this country are not the rebels in college. They're the servants in college. When Dr. Bob Gray from down in Longview, Texas, who has the largest attendance of any of our graduates, over 2,000 attendance every Sunday, when Dr. Gray was here, he looked for ways to serve me and serve Dr. Evans. Begged us for ways. Every man that's on this platform tonight who works with me has the same degree of freedom as he has obedience to authority. Most, if not all, of the men that work for me are given total freedom. Brother, Ray, what time do you come to work in the morning? What time do you have to come to work in the morning? What hours have I given you? None. It's interesting. Brother Roy, what hours did I give you? Brother Keith? Huh. Brother Claire? Huh. No working hours. Huh. Brother John, what are your hours? Whatever you want to make them. Sounds like they're pretty free to me, doesn't it, you? You know why they are? Because every one of these men, and all the others too, they love me and they serve me. And I serve them. And I trust them. And all across this nation, pastors say to me, Dr. Howes, would you tell me, I'm trying to set some hours for my men on my staff. What time do your men come to work? I said, I don't know. I'm not here. I don't know. Never check on them. Some of you folks in the church, you're you on the board won't like that, but it so happens that I'm the boss of the staff and you're not. And whenever I'm not boss of the staff, I'll walk out that door and you'll get yourself some little fella that'll follow you along. You can lead by a leash. But you got a man behind the pulpit now. And these staff men have freedom. But I'll guarantee you one thing. That's the hardest working bunch of men right here you'll find on anybody's staff in America. Why? Because they said we'll serve, we'll obey. And because they obeyed, they're free. Brother Ray, how many secretaries do you have work for you? 9 secretaries work for him. And I haven't got that many. Make a note of that. You've got a bigger staff than I have. You know one reason why he has 9? I could say to him tonight, or to any one of these men, I could say to him tonight, God spoke to my heart. And I guarantee you, God wants you to go out to that bridge over the Chicago River tonight and jump off. And I guarantee you, he'd go jump. Obedience is what brings mastery. There ought to be 200 children walk this aisle and get on your knees tonight and ask God to forgive you for being disobedient to your parents. There ought to be 100 students, school students, walk the aisle and ask God to forgive you for being disobedient to your teachers at school. Another 100 ought to walk the aisle and ask God to forgive you for being disobedient to your Sunday school teachers and superintendents with your little smart-aleck rebellion. There ought to be 100 people walk the aisle and ask God to forgive you for being disobedient to those for whom you work. Obedience. The way to authority. And the way to mastery. Shall we stand, please?